Viewer discretion is advised for this Love Theme podcast. The content may contain discussions and sensitive topics related to relationships, dating, and love. Some content may not be suitable for all listeners, especially those uncomfortable with open and vulnerable conversations. We encourage our listeners to practice self-care and to reach out to a trusted friend or professional if they need support. You have no friends, you have me. Welcome to the Lost Lover Boy podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Lost Lover Boy podcast. I am your host, Mr. Dimitri Wiley. Some of you know me from TikTok. Some of you know me from Instagram. Some of you know me as the guy who always got some shit on his chest. Some of you know me as a fucking lead vocalist in car karaoke. Y'all know me for a bunch of different reasons, but for those who are new here, welcome. Home of the lovers. Like, I truly hope you find a safe space in the things you hear and the things you see, whether it's me pop logging or it's me, you know what I'm saying? I don't do pop logging, but... I truly hope you can find a home here and feel safe here. For those who are returning, thank you again and again, week after week, bi-weekly after bi-weekly, however long you checking it out, whether you stayed up one night and binge-watched it all, thank you for being here, for making me feel heard, seen, appreciated, loved, valued, all of those things you guys make me feel. I thank you, and I'm grateful for that. What else can I tell you? I just want to shout out to my Clubhouse family for one good second. Every Tuesday, we get on Clubhouse. It's called the Lost Lover's House. The link is in my bio if you ever wanted to tap in. Every week, we get on there, week after week, and we always start off with a very open-ended conversation, a very open-edged conversation for a lot of people to get on there and speak about how they feel, speak about what they're going through, speak about the topic that I see forth. And I want to say how much I love you guys. How much we've grown to understand each other and how much you guys have helped me see the world outside of all I've known already. I think knowledge and growth is everlasting. I feel like you always should be in search of it. I feel like it's the one thing on the planet that can help you better yourself. I said on a post recently that I've only ever wanted to be rich to provide, and I've only ever been excited to seek knowledge when I have opportunities to teach. And I'm fortunate that so many people tap in with me, and they even took a moment at the end of the Clubhouse to say how, you know, much I'm appreciated and all I've done. And I told them I haven't done anything other than get on here and be myself, anything other than, you know, put my opinion out there for the world to hear in hopes that so many people feel the same way I do. So thank you. Thank you very, very much. I love you guys. Y'all know who you are. If I got to shout y'all out by name, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of y'all I really just... adore. And that's for everybody who get on there and speak, and everybody who's there week after week listening. You guys are appreciated so, so much. Now, for this episode, I wanted to speak on the concept of breaking generational trauma, healing from generational trauma, shattering generational trauma, becoming a new you through understanding generational trauma. And I'll just give my perspectives. I know everybody see me online and they imagine that I'm some man who grew up in a household where everything was rainbow and smiles. That I'm some man who grew up in a household where everything was just happy all the time and emotions were always taken into consideration, and there was never, you know, self-doubt or neglection or all of that's incorrect. You know, I've even told my parents that I hate when people say, who raised you? Because in all actuality, no shade to my parents, but I feel as though I've learned myself on my own. I've always said, you can either learn in a negative space or a positive space. You either learn from what you seen that was done right, or you learn from what you've seen and you decided to do the opposite, right? Most of what I seen was the opposite. I'll give you an example. My parents, for example, in their relationships with their parents have always been shaky. My father had a father who was just a father. He provided all the way up until my dad was probably 16. Then my dad was out on his own. He was never emotionally available. It was, you go to work, you get money, that's it. And to be quite frank with you, the distribution of love between my father and his siblings, incredibly uneven. but my dad loved anyway. But my dad chose to have a love and an admiration for his father anyway, right? And my dad's mother, right, stemming from that older generation where most of all she knows was to be a wife. Now, I didn't have a relationship with either one of these people. My dad's father or my dad's mother. They couldn't tell you my name to this day. Couldn't do it. Never had a relationship with them. Right? And of course, it's a why don't they, you know, as a child, you think, why don't they want us? Why don't they care to know us? You know, but my dad took it with a grain of salt and said, I'm going to raise my children regardless. My dad took it with a grain of salt and said, I'm going to love my children regardless. And as a result of that, just break it, staying on the topic of my father was more of a father than he was a dad in my younger years. My father was never emotionally available. I've never went to my father, you know, for advice on a woman. I've never went to my father about advice on a job. I didn't start going to my father until I grew up and I needed advice on a vehicle. Yo, Pops, you want to show me how to change these brakes? And then me and my father began to develop a relationship that was more than the relationship he had with his father. Because at the moment, that's all he had to give me because that's all he seen. My dad thought all love was all his dad did for him. Imagine this. Imagine, right? There's a place out there on earth and they've never envisioned what a $100 bill looks like. The moment they see a $100 bill, it's foreign to them. Just like when you hear two people having a conversation that's not in your language, you don't know it. You don't understand it, right? So it's foreign to you. It doesn't exist until it's brought upon you. It doesn't exist until you're taught, right? And I never faulted my dad for that. Never in my life faulted my dad for that. Because even as a child, I understood this concept. I understood generational trauma. I understood it then, so I knew my dad didn't have much to give me in a realm he did not understand, right? But I told myself, the moment I become a father, I'm going to learn from that negative space. All my dad did not do that I felt I needed him for, I'm going to be that. I'm going to be emotionally available. I'm going to be emotionally in tune. I'm going to be caring. I'm going to be passionate. I'm going to be emotional myself so my child understands it's okay to be emotional. Now, let's flip over to my mother's side of things. My mother, father, start with him. He's always, since I've known him, since she's known him, always been a drug addict. Always been addicted to drugs. Always. Always been an alcoholic. Both, same time. I'll be 28 in June. I've never saw my grandfather living anywhere else other than his mother's roof. He's lived with his mother since I've known him. Because that's because he's a man who needs to be dependent on someone else. That's what addictions do to you. They cripple you, right? And leave you thinking that this can be more important than other obligations in your life, right? Now let's talk about how that played into my mother's arms. My mother had never known what it was like to have her dad. Never knew what it was like to have an emotionally available man, an available man at all. Now, granted, my grandfather was present, but I will always say present does not substitute for your position. Your position is to be a father, right? Just because you're present, you have to be a father, right? But still, even as a child, I understood everybody's living their own. Everybody's writing their own book, right? And me personally, I may be just a sentence in some person's book. I may be a paragraph in another. I may be a chapter in another. I may be the whole left side. somebody else. Right? But even still, you give grace because you don't know this person's book. You've never read it. My grandfather may have suffered things I have no clue about. I didn't have friends pushing drugs on me. I didn't have the peer pressure he dealt with. But where I want to give credit to my mother, she never let that cripple her in terms of who she would be as a mother. Now, there's always side effects. Of course there were side effects. All that my mother did not know is all that she could not do for her children. So my mother felt, you know, the tough love she received from her mother, she received from being the oldest of 13 kids that my grandfather had, the tough love that she knew. I remember one time she told me a story about how my granddad ended up like, I think he stole a PlayStation from his other kid and brought it to my mother. And on Christmas, he had to steal that motherfucker back from my mama, take it out her hands. No, not a PlayStation. I'm sorry. It couldn't have been a PlayStation because my mother's old as dirt. I'm just playing, Mom. But it was a Nintendo Switch. I'm sorry. Not a Nintendo Switch. What am I doing? Logan has rubbed off on me so much. Not a Nintendo Switch. A Nintendo 64. Right? The old one. You blow it. That one. When you wanted to play that goddamn Mario Kart, yeah, you blow that motherfucker. It was one of them. He ended up stealing it from another baby mama and took it away from that child to come give it to my mother. Then that baby mama started tripping, so he ended up stealing it from my mother. Imagine what that does to a child. What you just opened up on Christmas, you found out ain't even yours. You found out it was on borrowed time. It ain't even for you. That takes the whole allure out of what Christmas is. Right? Now let's take my grandmother into account. My grandmother is a, how do I explain my grandmother? And this is not the grandmother I'm constantly speaking to on this podcast. This is my mother's mother. Who I'm speaking to is my great-grandmother, whose birthday is actually coming up. Actually, both of their birthdays are actually coming up. But we're throwing my great-grandmother a birthday party. Her name's Rose. I'm speaking about a different grandmother, my mother's mother. She's something else. She's a very unique person. She, and this is me speaking and giving y'all that transparent truth in my life, in my mother's life. She's always favored her youngest daughter, right? My grandmother is one to pick favorites. And she's all, even with me growing up, I was 13, hearing things like, yeah, we don't trust your mother with this because she's not financially responsible and she's not this. Let me tell you something. My mother's a product of all she did, right? If you could ask my mother to this day, she'll tell you. I was the one to break ground and say, Mom, you could do anything you want to put, you could put your mind to, right? I told my mama, go tap in with your credit. Figure that out. See what it's looking like, right? Signed my mother up for a credit union, the credit union I was attending. She got her credit together. My mother went and brought a Tesla, no money down, baby. That's all you, Mom. Right? But this is the same mother I used to hear was not financially responsible back in the day. It's the same mother I used to hear don't know how to manage things and can't control her temper. All my mother was a product of all she got. Right? And as a child, we received that same thing my grandmother did to my mother. We received the same thing. It was no different. My mother was angry. My mother was loud. She was aggressive. She was hit first, ask questions later. My mother thought because we were boys and we were going to grow up and be bigger than her, she said this out of her mouth, that I felt like I had to hit you guys. I felt like I had to make you guys fear me in order to respect me, but that was never the case. Not for me. I don't learn in fear. I learn in love. Everything about me was centered in love. Everything about me was rooted because I love people, right? And it's easier to teach through love than it is to teach in fear. And I tell my child, this is only present because I love you. I have to have you around. I have to keep you safe, right? It shouldn't be a presence of fear to make you be respected. We was going to respect you regardless. You feed us. You know what I'm saying? You're our mom. You all we know. So we was going to respect you regardless, but she didn't know that. And it built up a lot of trauma in my brothers. It built up a lot of trauma in my sister. It built up a lot of trauma in, you know, our household. And it ultimately ended up, you know, resulting in me being homeless at like 18, right? I was sleeping in hotels, sleeping in my car, washing up at the gym, going to work. And funny enough, even in trauma, me and my mother was working at the same job. We was working for the same trucking company on two different sides of the building, not speaking to each other for years, right? A lot of trauma. It wasn't until me and my mother decided to have that conversation to heal from it. And I told my mother, there's nothing you need to do to prove anything to your mother. Your mother is going to see it how she sees it. It's not who you are. It's what you've been through. I helped my mother see that idea, and I cannot sit and tell you guys how proud of my mother I am in growth. So when people out there thinking that, oh, I've been telling my mother this or telling my father this, and they aren't receptive, they won't listen, they won't hear, I promise you, never stop doing that. Never stop putting in that work, because one day they will. And for those of you who've lost a parent, and there was so much that went unsaid, baby, keep speaking. Keep putting it out there into the world, because God hears you, and eventually your parent will get the message. They may not be able to send the words back down to you, but you're going to receive it in blessings they've supplied for you. You're going to receive it in blessings they put through to God to send you. Your parents are always going to speak in your favor. Because let me tell you something. If they did not receive that healing from trauma on the planet, they're getting it from God. They're getting it up there. God going to make sure it happen. Right? Because he going to make sure you are exactly who you need to be to sit with him. He going to make sure you're exactly who you need to be, so that person can watch over you. So your parent can watch over you. Never stop speaking to them. I don't give a fuck if you look crazy at a gravesite. Never stop healing, growing, learning from. The thing about our black culture, right? Our black culture, and I can only say our black culture because I'm African American. I haven't really experienced other people's cultures that well enough to speak on it. Just in black culture, there's a lot that can go on, right? My mother felt she had something to prove to her mother, right? And in turn, it led her feeling like she can never be good enough for the world. I had this conversation with my mother the other day. I was like, you know, what's something you feel you wish you could improve on just today? She was like, I lack confidence. And I told her, you don't lack confidence for no reason. You lack confidence because that's the way the world grew you up to be. Right? If you had a parent, if you had someone fighting for your confidence as a child, every day I tell my son, you so handsome. Boy, you sexy, boy. My son told me the other day, Daddy, you want to be like me, right? I said, you know it. He's like, because I'm sexy, you know it. I want to be just like you because you're big and strong. And in turn, what that does, when he's my age, he's going to look at the world fearlessly. He's going to look at the world like, I can do anything because my dad told me I could. I can do anything because that was instilled into me to be this person. Right? And I'm a firm believer that if the world would stop focusing so much on the trauma that was, on the trauma that was caused, and start focusing on how much trauma they can heal going forward, this world would be running laps. My culture would be running laps around other people. But we get too consumed up in proving, we get too consumed in proving ourselves to other people. We so worried about what we drive, what we wearing, how other people perceive us. Let me tell you something, man. And this is the honest to God truth. If God could show you the minds of other people, you can truly see how much these motherfuckers ain't thinking about you. You can truly see how much your day-to-day is not a factor on other people. 9 times out of 10, that person you trying to impress doesn't give a fuck about what you drive. 9 times out of 10, the person you trying to impress doesn't give a fuck about what shoe you wearing. They don't care. They don't care how good you slept. They don't care. But that's the perception the world has brought upon us. You ain't going to go outside looking just, oh, anyway. But let me tell you something. Instead of saying that to your child, you should have been saying, you should care about how you present yourself to yourself. When you look in the mirror, are you proud of what you see? Because whether you're in your house or outside your house, I look the same. Whether I'm in my drawers or I'm in a $10,000 Balenciaga outfit, my self-esteem is the same, right? Since y'all been gone, since the last podcast, I've flown to Atlanta with my boy Charles. Shout out to my boy Charles. I love you, dog. I flew to Atlanta, and I picked up a truck that I've always dreamt of having. I got me a Range Rover, right? And a lot of people say, oh, you got money. Oh, you this, oh, you that. I'm just a kid who've always said I want one of those. Who's always said I'm going to have one of those. So I bought me one of those for me. I don't give a fuck how people see me in it. And even when I did, I analyzed that and I said, that's not why I want it. I analyzed it and said, how much of what I'm doing is to impress somebody else and how much for me. I literally had this conversation with my boy Diddy in Waffle House. Literally, verbatim, word for word. This percent is the perception of the world. This percent is for that little boy who thought he'd never have one. I'm 27 years old. I am proud to say I've checked off a lot of things that I never thought I'd do. I've done a lot for myself that helped heal that child. That's why you move. That's why you put on clothes. That's why you go jump in a car you want to pay for. That's why, not to impress anybody else. Never to impress anybody else. I didn't get a Range Rover because I thought it'd take my status up in terms of women's I date. I don't. Maybe if you can't love me in this Toyota Corolla, you ain't meant to love me. You are not who's for me. You understand what I'm saying? And that's something I learned in my childhood. And when I was a child, we used to shop at the thrift store, right? My mama always used to say, shit, it look good, don't it? You goddamn right, man, look good. Because we were poor, broke. I'm talking about broke, right? I remember one year, I got some fucking Air Force Ones, black Air Force Ones off the back of the van, right? Off the back of the fucking van. Them shoes weak. I was in grammar school. Them bitches ripped 2 days later. So I'm talking about the base and the sole of them bitches. They're like this. I was in the yard playing Johnny Come Across, and them motherfuckers came across. Them motherfuckers came apart. You understand what I'm saying? Like, hey, man, that's the life we lived, right? So I grew up with this thing about as long as I'm impressed by myself, that's all that matters. As long as I'm impressing me, that's all that matters. I've never cared for validation. I've never cared for consideration in terms of what I got. I don't give a fuck about what y'all think. This is for me. I'm doing this for me. And if more people go around living with that mindset, that childhood trauma won't bother you as much. Stop trying to impress your mama. Stop trying to impress your grandma. Stop trying to impress women in your family. People be like, oh, I made it this long without having a kid. But baby, you wanted a kid. Who are you holding out for? Your family or yourself? If you wanted that, why were you holding out on it? Why is it a prize or a chance that you made it this far? You're depriving yourself. Right? But you know what the world tells you, right? Your family told you having a baby at this age, the longer you hold out, the more. Let me tell you something. It's a lot of people who 30, 40 years old, no kid, and still ain't got shit going on for their life. Right? There's never a perfect time, too. You'll never be perfect. But stop letting the world or your past shape what you got going on going forward. Right? I used to think, oh, you got to be financially stable to have a kid. You got to do this. No. A lot of that, right? I mean, you become a whole different person the moment you have a child. The moment that that next generation is born, you become a whole different person. You shift. And if you don't, you ain't ready to have a child. Mentally. Right? If your mindset don't say, everything I got going on right now is in better judgment of this child, you weren't ready. Sad but true, you were not ready. And when your mindset does change, everything changes with it. You'll start making more money. You'll find a better house. The more you sit comfortable with no obligations, the less you do. It's a fact. But the more you have on your back, that the bigger chip you got on your shoulder, the more you're willing to jump out there and say, I need to upgrade this job. I need to get a bigger car. I need to move to a safer location. I need to go back to school. I need to do all of these things, not only for you, but for that generation in which you're trying to heal the trauma from the past on. Right? A lot of our parents was told, when you go in this store, don't touch nothing, don't look at nothing. Do you know what that sparked in us? It sparked the idea that we can't afford even now. You still, to this day, depriving yourself of shit you want. You scared to spend that money. Like you're not going to get it back. But that's what the past did. Right? Yo, our past told us, your parents told you, I feed you, I clothe you, I ain't got to be your friend. Right? And that's got you with some strict parenting style on your kid. Let me tell you something. Y'all can be friends. It's okay. All you have to do is make sure you're teaching your child to respect you. That's it. But understand, respect is not always nurtured in fear. Respect is nurtured through love. As long as you're there and you're present and you're leading by example, you can be friends. What the fuck? My son is my best friend. One day we're going to grow up and we're going to look like brothers. Why? I'm going to have that for real effect. I ain't never getting old. Fuck is you talking about? I'm going to look good till I die. God damn. And one day me and my brother, and I can't wait till the comparisons come, y'all look like brothers. I'm going to be like, shh. Yeah, that nigga old, ain't he? It ain't going to be me, that nigga old, ain't he? Right? But so much of what we've seen is children, right? Your parent telling you you had a fucked up day at school, right? Your parent don't know what happened other than you had a bad day. And we now understand humans have bad days. Some days you wake up, you don't want to talk to nobody. Some days you wake up, you're annoyed. Why don't we think children have this same thing going on? Why don't people understand my child's not sleeping right? His sleeping habit is off. Of course that's going to affect him when he go to school. I've noticed that the earlier I wake my baby up to go to school, the worse his day is. It's correlation. Those things weren't getting correlated when we was children. They didn't give a fuck. You go to school, you do what the teacher told you, that's it. I don't give a fuck what's going on at school. And you know what happened? There was an anxiety that was built into us because your parents would tell you, you on the phone with them? I'm whooping your ass when you get home. Do you know what this built? Do you know what this built up? Do you know what this put on you? It put this fear, this anxiousness, right? This anxiousness for punishment. You scared to make a mistake. You scared to say the wrong thing. You scared to go to work thinking, all repercussions leads to you being fired. You're nervous. And that's all because what that childhood trauma did to you. All I'm saying is, all I want you to know is be more cognizant of what that trauma and how that trauma is affecting your life today. While you're living in it, say, damn, I know this is because of da 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 da. And I refuse to let that lead. I'm gonna put my own footprint going forward. You scared to go over to that new job because you were raised in comfort. As long as you eating, you good. As long as there's food on the table, you good. You better be lucky I'm giving you an allowance. Right? What that taught you is, okay, now I should be lucky I got a job. Regardless of how much work they ask me to do, I got to be fortunate for this check I got. No, baby. The world don't work like that. When more hits your plate, more hits your pockets. Right? I've been in the trucking industry for a very long time. Every year of this industry, I've managed to get a raise. And I ain't talking about a little raise. I'm talking about a big one. Why? Because I choose to take on more work. The more hit my plate, the more hit my pocket. And all of this is directly tied into love. You must learn to love yourself by letting go of all that trauma. You must learn to love yourself by forgiving, giving grace, understanding they have their own book that they're working on. They may not understand now. They may not understand in 2-3 months, 2-3 years. They may not understand before they leave this planet. But it is your job to give them grace. Forgiveness is for you. Forgiveness is something you do to ease your heart. When my heart was broken, I learned to forgive. My mother always said, I can forgive, I can never forget. I'm not asking you to forget. Right? I know it's hard when you go to your parents and you try to have these conversations, or your grandparents, or whoever it is, big brother, little sister, whoever it is, when you go to have these conversations and they act like they don't know what the fuck you're talking about. They act like there was no torment, there was no trauma, there was no hard times, there was no uncomfortable conversations. These things, they never brought your self-esteem down. They don't remember none of this. Right? Because let me tell you something. Memory, what memory does, your memory can be affected by what you choose to remember. And of course, we will always choose to let the bad go. And that's how we treat people. If you treated people bad, your mind is going to remember you saying different words. Oh, I don't think I said it like that. I don't think it was those words. When you fucked me up, what you said to me as a child really fucked me up. And I had to tell my mama that. I remember I was 21 years old, right? I told my mama, Mom, I'm finna go buy a Mercedes. This is the car I want. I was making enough money to do it. My mother told me, when that car get repoed, don't come looking in my face. I was 25, and my mama said she never remember saying that. But you know what else my mother said? She said, if I did, I apologize. Till this day, my mother tells me all the time, I've never in life seen you say you was going to do something and you did not do it. She say, your confidence in yourself instilled the confidence in me. That's the best compliment I could ever receive. I forgave my mother wholeheartedly. Our relationship is now better than ever. I've forgiven my father. Me and my father now has a son-dad relationship. I call and be like, Pops, what you think about this? Da, 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 da. And I pray to God, my son calls me for the exact same thing. Daddy, it's this girl, man. You know, she doing this and this and this and this. And he going to get that lover boy advice directly. And if I don't know the answer, I'm going to be like, I'm going to turn to my wife and be like, baby, Logan want to ask you something. Because that's how much faith I'm going to have in a person I'm marrying. Right? That's how much faith. All I'm saying is childhood trauma can be affecting you in so many other ways, so many more ways than you know. But best believe, if it's affecting you personally, it's affecting your relationships, your ability to go out there and date and trust man and you know, be vulnerable with people. It's absolutely affecting you. And all I'm telling you is, today's the day. Today's the day you choose to stand up and you heal from that. Today is the day you choose to forgive your mother, your grandmother, that old best friend, whoever it was that put that trauma onto you, you forgive them so you can let it go. Forgive them for you. That's the first step to healing. And once you heal, all your relationships start to blossom. all of them start to get better. Because you now have that space on your heart for that. I pray to God you took something away from this podcast. I love what I'm doing. I love what the space I've created. I love how valuable you guys see my word as. I love everything about this space I'm walking in. I am extremely tired. I'm always tired. But I have to find time to make room for what God has in store for me. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to sit down on my ass and find time to balance everything God has for me because I will not give it up. I've helped too many people. We've changed too many perspectives, too many lives, my own life, my son's life, my parents' life. I am grateful for each and every individual who watches or listens to this podcast. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm going to keep getting shit off my chest, girl. I got some shit on my chest right now. I'm going to keep doing it. And I pray to God it keeps supplying you guys with strength to get shit off your chest. So go out there and have that uncomfortable conversation. Go out there and apologize to that friend. Apologize to that parent. Forgive this person. Forgive that person. So you can walk in your own light. Granny, your birthday coming up, baby. I got a surprise for you. So what's going on with my grandmother's birthday? On May 11th, which is her birthday, I told her I'm taking her out on a date. And I told her I'm going to pick her up. And that's the whole reason I wanted a very nice car. I had to get this before my grandmother's birthday. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to come get you, baby, from the top of the stairs. I'm going to walk you on down there, open your door, put you in the car, hand you these flowers I got for you. I'm going to tell you, we're going to this restaurant. Excuse me. We're going to go to this restaurant. And we not. Me and my grandmother going to have a lovely conversation. Like, and I'm getting emotional because, like, my grandmother is, like, 86 years old. And I know she's not going to be here forever. But me and my mother and my family sat down and said, we got to appreciate her while she's here. And, baby, I love you. If I've never told you I love you, I love you more than anything on this planet. Right now, I'm finna make a post. Looking for a Chicago makeup artist who can do my granny's makeup, get the face beat for her birthday, because baby, we going out, right? And when you get to this date, we ain't going to no restaurant. We going to my auntie house where we've planned and thrown you this whole party and your whole family going to be there letting you know how much we love you, we adore you, right? And only when you heal can you finally see what's important in this world. And I know what's important. And I want you to heal so you can see what's important before you start losing time with people. Let me get the fuck up off here if I get the, you know what I'm saying, if they get the dripping. Listen, I love you guys. And I forget what I be saying, but peace out.